Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and today we talk with Becky Harling. She is an author and a speaker, and she's going to help us think about friendships, the importance of friendships, and how to have healthy friendships. Hey, thanks so much, Becky, for joining us here on Mark and Friends.
Hey, this is great, Donna. Thank you so much for having me.
Really appreciate it. And where do you live?
I live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Wow. What's the winter been like?
Today is actually going to be 73 degrees here.
Oh, how lovely. That's wonderful.
Right?
Yeah, that's great. You know, as in so many cases, Becky, in our world, it sometimes takes a difficult journey, doesn't it, to kind of clarify some of our thoughts? And you said it took your cancer journey to bring some clarity to your relationships. Tell us, how did that season change the way you viewed friendship?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with cancer and I went through the treatments. And during that season where I was really resting and healing from all the treatments, I began to ask the Lord, what are the priorities of my life to be like as I move forward? You know, because he had healed me from cancer, which is a big deal. And so one of the priorities was I wanted more time with God. I wanted more time with my family, and I wanted to be more intentional about my friendships. You know, Donna, I'm a natural achiever, and so it's easy for me to run after the next project.
Yep.
Or the next meeting. And I realized that some of that was getting in the way of really deep connections with my friends. And
yeah.
So I began to change that.
Isn't that healthy? You know, I too went through a cancer journey 2 years ago. And it's interesting, isn't it? When we think we know our expiration date, you know, when we think we've got that good used by date stamped on us, and
yep.
You're like, wow, it just, everything gets a little clearer and priorities get straightened up. And all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan. So yeah, I can totally identify with you in that process.
Yeah. It is a very clarifying journey.
It is. And in this journey, what were some of the things that the Lord told you about just having a healthy relationship with people, friendship? How can that contribute to our joy, emotional health, just overall well-being?
Oh my goodness, the research on this, Donna, is amazing. Did you know that if you have good friends, you have lower stress levels?
I believe it.
It leads to less depression and anxiety, which honestly, that makes so much sense. But it gives you a stronger immune system. It gives you better heart health. People who have good friends actually live longer than those that don't. And it also gives you stronger cognitive health. And in research from the Mayo Clinic, cancer patients that had close friends survived much longer than those who didn't. Mm-hmm. And so really, God has wired us for friendships. And when we're living in sync with how he's wired us, our health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, our physical health is all going to be better.
That's so true. I also found out, it was clarifying, I think I found out who my real friends were.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, same.
Who really wants to hear about your cancer diagnosis? How do they respond? And it was just, it was very cleansing for me. It's kind of like, okay, you know, now I know. And I'm not going to stress out that person, because I realized they don't have capacity for friendship in this era of my life. And that's okay. I can be a different kind of friend to them. But the ones I figured out really were for me was a gal, Carolyn Eastfold, and our listeners know her. And when I shared with her my cancer diagnosis, she had the perfect response. She didn't say anything. And she listened. And I just feel like that is so important in a friendship, to kind of know and sense what's important in the moment for that person.
Yeah, it totally is. One of the things that I talk about when I'm teaching on friendship and relationships is this whole idea of attunement, you know, and really being attuned to what's going on in your friend's heart. We can get together for coffee with friends and we can come and arrive and just, we're our minds in a million places. We can have shallow conversations. But when we're really attuned to what's going on in our friend's life, we're able to offer full presence. We're able to offer empathy. We're able to be in sync with them. And through that, they feel heard and loved.
That's what we want, isn't it? Now, let's talk in the concept of assumptions. And sometimes we just go into a relationship assuming so much that they're going to understand us, that we're on the same page, that they're our ride and die person, right? They'll run shotgun with us off the edge or whatever.
Yes.
We have that
Yeah.
idea, and then it doesn't happen, and it just kind of creates some conflict and just some false narratives and, hopes and dreams in the friendship. What should we consider before making assumptions about a friend's words, actions, and commitment?
Clarify meaning, let me give you a really relevant example. I had a little party to celebrate this new book on Saturday, and one of my dearest friends was to come and be part of just praying over me, and she didn't show up. And I thought, okay, I can make assumptions here that I wasn't important or whatever, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to contact her and say, hey, is everything okay? Well, it turns out her son, who's a teenager, was just diagnosed with mononucleosis, was very sick, and she didn't feel like she could leave, And so I had to clarify that. And then it turns out today that she's bringing me coffee to celebrate. And, but so many times, Donna, I find that when a friend disappoints us, we make meaning in our heads and we tell ourselves a certain story. And rather than doing that, clarify what happened with your friend. Assume the best until you know the worst.
Benefit of the doubt. Absolutely. That's so important. I know in my friendships over the years, conflict is not fun, but it's going to happen at some point. What are some healthy, God-honoring ways to address and resolve conflict?
Yeah, so the book of Proverbs talks about gentleness, and I feel like gentleness might be a lost art in this current season of our culture. And so I think as believers, we really have to cultivate gentleness. So when you're in conflict with a friend or even a family member, I try to practice these steps. First, I pause and pray internally. Now, to be clear, I'm out with a friend at lunch. It's not like I drop to my knees in the restaurant. It's that there's a quiet underlying conversation going on with the Holy Spirit and me. And I'm asking him to give me wisdom as I enter this conflict zone. And then I focus my attention on listening more than talking. Whenever we're in conflict with a person, our blood pressure rises a tiny bit. And it's easy to start talking like 95 miles an hour to prove your point. Instead, put your hand over your mouth if you have to and listen. Seek to understand what's happening in your friend's heart. Really tune in and focus on understanding. You might even use phrases like, tell me more, or how did that make you feel? And then you go to reaffirming the friendship. This friendship is important to me. So I want us to be able to work through this, and I'll do whatever I can to repair our relationship.
That commitment is so necessary. And I know over the years, I've had friends for different reasons and different seasons. And I think that's important to acknowledge because, during my season of singlehood, it was with a lot of other single gals and others. And then we got married. And then now it's a season, it was a season of children, right? Those crazy years. So I hung out with women who had similar interests, and we had a common goal and purpose and homeschooling and just other things. And then my kids all graduated, and that was weird because it was so weird. I'm like, wait a minute, you brought up me all my friends. So when you leave, do my friends leave? But it ended up we weren't doing the same things anymore, and they had other kids and they got busy. So that was a really just a weird season of life where I had to figure out who my friends were. And then we moved, you know, 4 years ago, and I didn't have any friends. So you had to start all over. And but it's been fun to just kind of reevaluate friendships. Now I don't see them so much for what they can do for me. And we have shared purposes and goals in different groups I'm in, but it's more of a coming alongside. I feel like I'm in a more serving mode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, there are really different seasons of friendships. I heard this illustration one time that it's like you have a friend bus. And at different seasons of your life, friends switch seats on the bus, you know. Some are up closer to the front and some move more to the background. But I think building loyalty in your friendships and really keeping friends through the years. You know, I have one friend and we have been friends for over 30 years. And we have each even, I mean, we lived in the same spot when we began our friendship. Then we've lived, you know, in all different places. And now we're both back in the Springs again. But through the years, we've kept in touch and kept the friendship because the friendship was important. So if you have loyalty in friendship, that can really help. But also giving grace to your friends when the season changes. You know, maybe your friends are going through a season where they're crazy busy and they can't offer as much. And that's okay. You can still tell them, you know, they're a great friend, but you have to offer understanding and grace that they can't be what they used to be.
That's so true. And just to give them the grace to release them into their own season, pray for them. And when they do call, we have a great time. You know, we have a lot of things in common, how the kids, what you up to. And it's beautiful. It just, you pick up right where you are, but they're not that in your face, right there, kind of a friend that you can go to and lean on. Now, you brought up something about over-functioning in friendships. What are you talking about there? And is there any way we can recognize that pattern, perhaps in ourselves?
Yes, I think it's my conviction that a lot of us are over-functioners. You know, we take responsibility for things that other people can take responsibility for. And as a result, we overfunction. You know, an example would be maybe two of your friends are having a little bit of a difficulty. And so you step in as the HR director and you're trying to direct and heal these friendships. Well, that's overfunctioning. Or maybe your friend is going through a really hard time. And so you talk with them about, you know, maybe it would be good to get some counseling. And when they don't respond, you overfunction. You call a counselor, you set up an appointment, and you set it all up for them. Well, that's overfunctioning. We can't do for others what they can do for themselves. You know, we have to realize it kind of goes back to boundaries, Donna. We have to realize what we can be responsible for and what we can't be responsible for.
That's so true. And I think some people, you know, friends, will see you as a resource. And I think it's important that we don't fall into that pattern of just being their resource. And that there's this more to the friendship than just that. You know, I fall into that pattern.
Or their enabler.
Yeah.
You know, I know of a situation where one of the friends is really, it's become clear she's struggling with alcoholism, you know, and two of her close friends have brought that up and confronted her. But at the end of the day, she has to decide, I'm in a mess and I need help, you know?
That's right. And knowing that we're right there, the moment she decides, right? That she's got people ready to walk beside her. I think that's the key, is that people do know we're available, we care for them, and we want to be a part of their journey. You say that good intentions can often lead us to offer unsolicited advice. So how can offering advice harm a friendship? And what is the better alternative?
You know, listening is the better alternative.
It is.
Most people can solve their own problems. And so if we can solve somebody's problem in a moment, that really makes them an idiot, right? And we don't want our friends to feel like that. So what we need to do is just keep our mouth shut and listen. We don't step in and solve people's problems for them, or offer advice using words like, well, you should go do this or you should do that. Take that out of your friendships and instead offer questions like, what do you think you should do in light of this? This must be really hard. Like, affirm their feelings and then ask them what they're thinking. Now, if they ask you for advice, then you can give it. Don't give it if they don't ask you.
Now, I know something that's broken up my friendships in the past. It's when envy and jealousy enter into the relationship, or competition, the whole one-upping.
Yeah, envy and jealousy are just not God-honoring. They break our friendships. And even Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10:15 that we are to take every thought captive. And Proverbs 23:17 says that we're not to let envy have any part in our souls. And yet often this is a big deal, especially between women friends. We compare our lives to theirs. We may compare our house to theirs and think, well, why can't I have a house like that? Or we compare husbands. Why does her husband, take her out to dinner and bring her flowers? And my husband hasn't thought of bringing me flowers in maybe 10 years. Or, why are her kids graduating from Yale and my kid is having a struggle just getting through, high school? Or, there's so many areas to compare, definitely professionally, even in the industry I'm in where and the ministry I'm in, where speaking and writing, there can be so much competition where it's like, well, why am I not getting the speaking engagements that she's getting? Or why do publishers like her book and not mine? All of that really comes from the evil one because he's trying to distract us and destroy what God is doing in our lives. And so we need to take our thoughts captive. And when our friend gets an honor or an award, we need to celebrate with them. When our friend's marriage is going great, no matter what's happening in our marriage, we need to celebrate with them. When our friend's kids are doing great, we need to celebrate with them. I even think in terms of the whole pregnancy and infertility. Infertility is so hard on so many women. And I get that. Some people very close to me have gone through that and it's devastating. But even there, trusting God and saying, Lord, I'm going to honor my friend who's pregnant, even though I'm struggling to get pregnant. God honors that, and your friendship will benefit and not fall apart.
And that's again a test. Is it a true friendship? Or is it just convenience? And you want to be that real true friend. Of course, we think of Proverbs that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that's the Lord God himself. And I think it's easy to be a good friend whenever we have overflow, when we know we're loved, we feel the security of the Lord, and that we've got something to give to friends. There were seasons of my life when, I had friends who I was drowning and I just grabbed on, and thankfully they were buoyant enough, and they had a good floaty where they could let me hang on for a while. But I think I was doing that because I just wasn't going to the Lord to meet my needs. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think attachment is huge. If we're going to be form healthy attachments, we need to have experienced healthy attachments. For me, Donna, I didn't experience healthy attachment as a child. And that's a whole nother story for another day. However, because I attached so strongly to Jesus and he really became my best friend, out of that secure attachment, I am able then to love others well and form healthy attachments with friends, because I know that Jesus loves me completely. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so no matter what's going on in my life, I know that I can always go back to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace in my life. Thank you that you are the friend who never leaves me and never forsakes me. Now, out of that secure bond, help me to love my friends well.
That's a good word. We're listening to Becky Harling. She's the author of FriendWise, Practical Ideas for Richer Relationships from Moody Publishers. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Becky. What are some ways that people can connect with you? How can they get in touch with you and find out more about your ministry?
I would love them to get in touch with me, and they can go to my website, www.beckyharling.com, and I have a number of free gifts up right now, and if you get those free gifts, then you'll also start to get my Monday morning devotional in your inbox. It's a short devotional. It's just meant to kind of stir up your faith as you begin a new week, whether you're homeschooling kids, whether you're running kids all over the place, or whether you're working in the marketplace. There's always a word that the Lord can give you for the week. And so I'd love to have them join me there. I'm also on Instagram at BeckyHarling.com and on Facebook. So they can find me in any of those places.
Wonderful. And if you have any, you know, other questions, dear listener, you can always contact the radio station and we can get you that information. Thanks again, Becky, for hanging out with us here on Mark and Friends.
Thanks so much, Donna.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of Mark and Friends. We appreciate your partnership in this ministry. We are listener-supported Christian radio, and so everything you hear over this wonderful station is because of the grace of God and the grace of your giving. So thanks again for giving freely from the heart, not under compulsion, as the Lord enables, and cheerfully. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media. If you'd ever like to hear any of these programs again, they're sitting for you on our website. Just go and find the Mark and Friends tab and then click on the MP3 format option, or there's a couple others as well. You can share that link with your friends and your family who you think might benefit from this Mark and Friends program. Coming up tomorrow on Mark and Friends, it's Mark and his many friends, and you'll be invited to their Bible study that's coming up tomorrow on Mark and Friends. We'll see you there.